What's up, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Turbulence Podcast. We chat dating, relationships, and lifestyle changes with Black women from all over the world. Today, I've invited expat and travel curator Ja to speak on her experience moving abroad as a Black woman and her decision to self-quarantine in the Dominican Republic. In this episode, you will learn some tips and inspiration to challenge you to think outside of the box, also known as the United States. Hey, Ja, thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Hello, Tyler. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I'm super glad that you accepted my invite to be on the podcast. I reached out to Ja because I saw that she had a podcast about self-quarantining in the Dominican Republic. So first, can you just tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do within the travel space?
Absolutely. My name is Ja, and I am the owner of Traveling with Ja. It's a online boutique agency, and I am also the founder and instructor for our Travel Professional Academy. I've been in the industry for the last 10 years, and just recently, within a year ago, decided to expand my territory, so to speak, and relocate to Puerto Plata, Dominican Republic.
My country, and I would be living there. That was always my dream. What really gave the push was in 2018, my youngest son graduated high school. He wanted to do a cruise, and I chose the 8-day Southern Caribbean cruise. Most of the ports of call I had been to already, but he had not. And Dominica was on that itinerary. I had never been to Dominica, and so I thought, let's just do it. The minute I stepped off the ship, I've fallen in love with Dominica. And when we returned from the cruise, I said that I was moving there. And 10 months later, I did. So wow. I had filled all my things, packed everything, shipped what I thought was important that I would need over there, secured a place to stay, and literally began my expat journey in Dominica. What I didn't do was enough research as far as finding out if the vibe of the island matched who I was.
Oh, personally. Say it. This is important.
This is important. It's beautiful. And I mean beautiful. I've been to islands, and this island is beautiful. Everything you would think a Caribbean island would be. I mean, just lush, just, oh my God, just beautiful. However, it's a very laid back island. And so moving from Atlanta, where everything is 10 times
right,
the speed, to exactly to the Lesser Antilles of the Caribbean, where I'm coming means 3-4 weeks from now, it was just a true culture shock for me. And so I was there a couple of months and actually was able to make some really good connections and grow my business there. And networked with a couple of people and collaborated to be part owner of Jamaican Hotspot restaurant there. So it worked, but personally, I didn't feel like I was thriving. And so then I island hopped for 2 months, and I went from island to island just to see where was I going to find that vibe, and learned a lot about myself along that journey. But then I also ended up coming back to Atlanta for 2 weeks and decided, where can I go? Where can I go? And I started binge watching YouTube on where could I go on the US dollar. So Dominican Republic came up. And so I can't really say like I chose the DR. I think the DR chose me. And it came up on the list second to Dominica. And I just decided that I was going to go for it. I knew that I was going to go for it because once you've had that experience of living abroad, you don't want to go back to the rat race. You don't want to go back to the stress of stateside living.
I can totally understand that. I can totally understand that because yeah. For me, it was similar because I've lived in Costa Rica when I studied abroad. I lived in South Africa and I lived in Spain. But each time Each time I came home, it was like for like maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like you said. And I was like, it's time to leave again. Mm-hmm. Where am I going? I don't want to be here type of situation.
Exactly. And so I just searched and just happened to, I knew a colleague who's also an agent in the industry. She lived in Punta Cana. And there was a friend of mine who had a friend who moved to Puerto Plata. And I just reached out to them both to see about apartment availability, and Puerto Plata by far is more affordable, and there's a very low cost of living here than Punta Cana. And I spoke to the landlord. I never even asked for pictures of my apartment, never asked for video. I just told him that I would be there, and I bought my one-way ticket when I hung up that
phone. Wow.
And that was almost a year ago, July 30th. Well, and I've
what would there. You say is like the cost of living? Like it, like for like a one-bedroom type of apartment, you know, basic mid-range, how much would you say that is per month so we can kind of get an idea?
You can get a one bedroom fully furnished with everything included, and when I say everything included, that includes your cooking gas, internet, cable, your electricity, for about $280-$300 on the low end. You could also, yeah.
People don't understand that when I tell them, like, they're like, oh, you must have all this money. You must, you know, be a trust fund baby. You must have a sugar daddy. Like, it can't just be the understanding that, hello, it's not that expensive. Like, I'm in LA right now, and if you want a good apartment, you're spending at least $1,200, at least, and it's going to be a closet.
Yeah. And $1,200 could be about 4 or 5 months rent, you know, in Boston somewhere. And you could actually, on the higher end, if you wanted something a little bit bigger, and maybe you can even rent a home for about $500. And that comes with the work and security and gated communities. So the cost of living in comparison to Atlanta and what I was paying for Atlanta rent, I mean, I could practically take care of a year's worth of rent and no problem. But the plus side is that because everything is just so readily available, and when I say that, like the Whole Foods and just the accessibility to good food, and it's cheap. So you're not going broke trying to eat well or trying to live peacefully. So they have, you know, depends on what you're looking for. If it's not furnished, you might pay a little bit more or less, depending on, again, the area that you want to live in too. That also depends on how much you'll pay for rent, but definitely it's affordable compared to any state in the U.S.
Okay, so now let's fast forward. So you're living abroad, you're living in the Dominican Republic, and all of a sudden coronavirus hits. Were you in the Dominican Republic when you started to notice it become like a more of a pressing matter?
Yeah, I never left. I was here. As a matter of fact, my family had just come to visit me. We celebrated my mom's 60th birthday in February, the end of February. And literally it was like after they left, within a week or two, bam, here we are with this pandemic. And so I didn't feel the need to pack up and go to the States because I had already resolved in my mind that Puerto Plata is my home. And if it got really bad, and I didn't even know what really bad would look like, but if I felt like it got really bad, then I'd use my privilege and my passport to leave. But I didn't want to be that type of expat, if that makes sense. And no knock to anybody who felt the need to leave. Just for me personally, I felt like that's a card I wanted to hold on to unless I just could not absolutely make it here, or it just got, you know, the cases just got devastating and just worse. And honestly, I, during this time, the last 6 months, I felt more safe here than for my friends and family back.
Really? Home. Do tell. Why? Why did you feel that way?
One, because the government is set up different. So, and I'm not, political person, talk politics like that, but just in my observation, when the president announced that our borders would be closing and this is what the curfew is and this is what's going to shut down, there was no liberty for each city or province to say, we're going to do this because we have the right to do so. It was one unified, this is what the country is doing. And as a result, I think that's why our cases haven't been, you know, astronomically high as they could have been if each province was allowed to do what they want and call their own shots. So it's something I had never experienced before, obviously, because I grew up living under, you know, U.S. customs and laws and culture. And so when you see a culture that is, it's not a dictatorship here by far, not that, but definitely there's time for order. And the order was established and they continued. We had 5 extensions of the state of emergency. Actually, it's being lifted on the 1st wow. of July. So we've been under quarantine all this time. Yes. And, you know, things have started to gradually open up. But then when I turn in, and I don't always get access to the U.S. news, but when I can get CNN, and I see that New York is the epicenter and cases are rising and the U.S. has over 1 million something cases, it saddens me. And so it made me more fearful for my family back at home, because here I am on this island and I'm in my little place and I'm safe. I'm almost like in a bubble. Yeah. I'm not exposed to anything and we're not fighting over toilet paper here.
Unacceptable.
That we use anyway. You know, island living, you can't flush the toilet paper anyway. So you get
that was
creative.
So embarrassing. I was so embarrassed to be American.
The frenzy of food running out and not having enough, that type of stress was not something that I had to encounter. There was never a moment where we went to the grocery store. My friend girl and I would do a weekly run. And, you know, every Tuesday we're at the grocery store and the shelves are fully stocked. So it was like observing one thing, but living something totally different. But then there was like that internal conflict, like, should I go home or should I stay? But I just told myself, no, this is where we are because this is home. And I needed to unplug from what I was seeing happening in the States because there was not chaos happening in Port
Yeah, that's
Clark.
A beautiful way to look at that. And I'm sure you also had other reasons to stay, such as meeting a special someone in the Dominican, correct?
Mr. Pedro. Yes, my walking, aka my walking
oh my
buddy.
Goodness. Where did you meet Mr. Pedro?
I literally met him. I got here July 30th and I met Pedro on August 2nd. Geez. And
that never happened to me.
Yeah. And I wasn't looking for anything. I came here on a mission to just focus on my agency and other projects that I wanted to, you know, manifest. But I was walking along the Malecón doing my morning walk, and there he was. He said hello, and I tell you, that was like the end of it. Now here we are almost a year later. But yet, even through that, he understood. And there were times, let me just say this, there were times when I deeply missed my family. And the reality did set in that I was here, but I'm here alone. And I would say that to him a lot. I would say, you know, kind of like at the height of when things were just getting really bad, I would always say, like, I'm here by myself. Like, I don't have my family. And he would always say, I'm here with you. Like, but you have me. And I'm like, you don't get it. It's not the same.
Oh,
like, your family
yeah.
lives here. You're from here. And so there were moments where I literally would break down, like, God, I just want to be with my mom, my dad. You know, we're a really tight-knit family. My kids, I have 3 young adult children. And so, you know, I did have those moments. But at the same time, he kind of understood what I was saying and knew that I would need to make a visit home soon. And that's kind of been the basis of our relationship. Like, yes, I'm here, but in my mind, I always say I came here on my own accord, if that makes sense. I didn't come here for a relationship. So it is not a, what am I looking for? It's not as a conflict or a struggle when I decide, hey, I'm going to go to the States for a couple of months or, you know, a month or two or whatever. Actually, I'm leaving on Thursday. and I'll be in the States for a month. Have a little anxiety about
Yeah,
that,
I
but
would too, but I'm sure you miss people, you know, like I'm sure you gotta
but
be safe.
I gotta stick in, right? And so he supports that 100%, and that's what I can say about him. During this time, COVID showed up, business went to a standstill, but I was able to pivot and continue on with, like I said, the academy and coaching other agents. And so he's been very supportive and have seen me at the worst of anxiety. I can't ever tell you that I've experienced anxiety before because I haven't. But this last 6 months, it was just like, whoa, what's going on with the world? And then, you start to feel okay when you read that the embassy is sending you updates in your email, like, prepare to stay indefinitely if you don't leave. And it's like, but what is
Goodness,
indefinitely?
that sounds intense. Indefinitely.
Yeah, that's an intense word because you're trying to map out, how do I play this out? Do I ride it out or do I just commit that I'm here? Currently, one of my concerns is that as places start to open up, for example, Jamaica's right now reconsidering closing their borders because of the new rise of COVID cases. They just opened up 2.5 weeks ago. Tourists come in and now their cases have
I
spiked a
heard
little bit.
about that.
So my
Wow.
concern, yeah. So my concern currently is I leave out on Thursday and I was intending to stay for 2 months, but then I'm thinking, no, we're going to do a quick, I call it a re-up. I need my toiletries and my supplies and stuff. And then I'm just going to
You're
come right back
campy.
because I don't, I don't want to be locked out of the country. But the thought of that would just make me cringe and pass out. I don't ever want that to happen
Yeah,
to
well,
me.
I'm happy
So
that you'll be able to see your family because this is a lot, and it's a lot being in this space. I
it is.
can't imagine being, living somewhere else and having to see it all go down. So I truly we're out of time, but I truly appreciate you for sharing your perspective because I really think that moving abroad is something that can help a lot of women. I feel like it's a great way to start over. It's a great way to heal. It's a great way to get to know yourself.
Absolutely.
So on our last note, can you just go ahead and give maybe one piece of advice to Black women who are out there thinking about making that move, making that decision to move abroad? What's some advice that you would give to them?
Go for it. There is not going to be a time when the timing is right. If when I do this, then that, when this, then this, it's going to always be something. Go for it. Because at the end of the day, the US isn't going anywhere. If it doesn't work, you go back home.
Yeah.
To me, it's just that simple. Go for it. I'd rather try it than not try it, but go for
That's a great piece of advice, and I 100% agree. If you are thinking about moving abroad, make sure to choose the correct place because, like Josh said before, you don't want to be somewhere laid back if you're trying to get turned up, okay?
And you know that,
All
okay?
right, Ja, thank you so much. This was such a great interview.
Thanks for
Can
having
you go
me.
ahead and tell our audience where they can find more of you?
You can find me on Facebook at Traveling with Ja, and you can also find me on YouTube at Traveling with Ja and Instagram as well. Same handle, Traveling with
Awesome.
Ja.
All right. Thank you, listeners. I hope you learned some really great gems. Thank you, Ja, and you enjoy the rest of your day.